Gracious, Jerry, it's in Italy. It's late out there. It's so great that you're here.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
It's dark here now.
Yeah, that's great. I'm in Spirit Rock. I did a retreat that ended yesterday, but
Zoom's wonderful.
it is so wonderful. I'm so glad that we can do it like this. And the other thing that's wonderful about Zoom is we used to do stories and then I kind of stopped. But I miss those stories. I miss those little kid stories that we used to play. For those of you that are new and that haven't, we kind of stopped doing them, but we used to, this sit originally started as a children's family sit. And so we used to do little stories to help us kind of understand some of the pointing and create a way to talk to your kids about the Dhamma. And I found this little clip, little story that I want to share to talk about communication and speech and all of it. But I want to give you a heads up about it so that you kind of understand how I'm pointing this towards the Dhamma. You're going to see a clip of a man who's got his hands in his pockets through the bulk of it. And what I want you to recognize is that oftentimes we carry speech like this man is carrying his hands in his pocket. We don't really pay attention to the speech at all. And it has consequences when we don't. And then at some point, someone helps him see that he has his hands in his pocket, and then he takes them out, and the world is vastly different when he begins to walk around with his hands out of his pockets. And so that's what I want you to notice, that speech, the pointing of speech, is how we hold speech. That's what I think this clip is gonna point to. It's very short, very cute, but it's very powerful, I think, when you're thinking about speech. So let me open it up here. There. Is that cute? Okay. So let me help you with some little pointers. I always look at things with Dhamma so I can see, right? And I don't think he was trying to be mean when he didn't open the elevator or he didn't help the kid with the balloon or the cart. That's just the way we are. We just don't pay attention. Our hands are in our pocket. We're not paying attention to what happens with speech or things in our lives. And I'm pointing this towards speech, but it could be anything. We just don't pay attention. And I think that elderly lady is Dhamma. That's what Dhamma does. It kind of grabs us and slows us down so that we can't just rush through life, and it slows us down. And I got the sense that when he reached out to stop that car, it's like we protect the Dhamma. If you can hold the Dhamma, what the Dhamma is pointing to, with a level of sacredness and not in the secular way that we hold it with sacredness, then we're protecting the Dhamma and it can completely change us. And that gentle way the elderly woman touched his face, that is the way I think the Dhamma treats us. When we protect the Dhamma, it protects us. It's what I think Seuss was pointing to this morning in the way she was setting up the meditation. So then we contemplate, what is all this? What is this that I'm noticing? And we can begin to, with the help of the Dhamma slowing us down, we can discern more fully the appropriate way of being, the way of moving through the world. And so what we're talking about this month is around right speech. And just to help us begin to see, Right speech is not the judgmental type, like, oh, this is the right way to talk. That would be more like passive aggressive. You know, you're kind of like talking all nice and syrupy and sweet, but really you're pissed off on the inside and you are trying your best to say the right thing, be nice, but you're not really there at all in your understanding and your wisdom. So this this right speech is pointing to something different, not right versus wrong, but it's pointing to rightness being something else. And when you start noticing that distinction in the pointing, it changes your relationship with it. So the right that I think Dhamma is pointing to is it would be like if you were trying to go to Portland in Seattle, heading north is the wrong way. You can go that way and maybe you'll get to Portland at some point. I don't know when, but you have to do a whole bunch of left turns or right turns. So you can head north, but it is the wrong direction for getting to Portland. It is not that driving north is wrong. It's just the wrong direction if you're trying to go to Portland. So instead, you have to go south, and that would be the right direction to go to Portland. The qualities that we're going to talk about that Sue's pointed out, this timeliness, is it truthful, is it kind, is it beneficial, and is it of goodwill? That is the right direction for less suffering, less harm. That is the right direction of your speech if you are trying to have less harm and less suffering in your life. The wrong direction would be if you're not speaking from truth, you're not speaking in a kind way, genuinely, it's not really beneficial for you to say that, or it's not the right time to say it, or even, you know, you're really just there's an ill will, there's an aversion behind what you're saying. Those are the wrong direction if you want less harm, less suffering. Yeah, you will get more harm, more suffering. So when we're talking about right speech over the course of this month, it's not in the secular way of looking at it. It's more in a sacred way of looking at it. And I more and more am beginning to understand that Buddha was not interested in edicts of do this and don't do that. I don't think in most of the suttas I read where he talks, he's not really saying one, he doesn't really describe things the way we do. We describe it all the way down to the common denominator, the lowest common denominator. We just give it all the details of it. But he was much more of, there's a this and there's a that. Now you can look at both this. You can look at this and you can look at that. And then you can decide the distinction of which one you want to do. And that's more of his way of being. In fact, there's a sutta that somebody comes to the Buddha and says, it's two paragraphs long, which is, I've read this sutta so many times trying to figure out what the two paragraphs were different. Because one of his, I think it was Sariputta, one of his senior monks came to him one day and said, there are all these Brahmins and contemplatives that teach on the seven factors of awakening. And they teach about liberation of the mind and the hindrances, you know, and we teach about seven factors of awakening and the hindrances and, you know, freeing the mind. So what's the difference? And The Buddha just repeats what he said. And basically, I kept reading it saying, these are the same two paragraphs. And then I saw the one word that was different, discernment. What the Buddha said was that we teach the discernment of the seven factors of awakening or the hindrances or whatever. So what you're looking for in this communication, speech, or whatever it is, we're looking for the discernment of why is sort of kindness, saying things at the right time or truthful, beneficial, is it kind, is it good of goodwill? Why does that lead to less suffering? And why does that lead, why is it when we don't do that, it's more suffering? Or another way to think about it is, how do I even know if my speech is kind? I mean, I've had some teachers say some pretty sharp things to me, but I would say that is kind. I wouldn't say it just because, I mean, anybody that's been with Rodney, we love him to death. He can say some pretty sharp things, but I wouldn't say that he is not saying those things out of affection. There's an affection that comes with it. So how do you know what is affectionate and what is beneficial and what is of goodwill? What is timely? How can you tell when something is timely? Is it timely for you? Like if you feel the impulse to say something, is that the right time to say it? Or do you have to wait till the other person is in the mood to hear it? Is that the right time to say it? What if they don't get in the mood to hear it, but you really want to say it? I mean, there's all these issues that come up around speech that Dhamma is not trying to give us the right way to talk or the right way to communicate. It's giving us an object of meditation to generate enough interest so we are curious to find the distinction between the right direction to get to Portland and the wrong direction. How come it's the wrong way? We live in a world of labels. It's called Nama Rupa. Nama being names and Rupa being form. So we live in a world of Nama Rupa, names and forms. And these names and forms is what gives us a sense of security and trust. Because I know who you are. I know who I am. I know where I'm at. And all of these names and forms give us a sense of security. And I don't think that there's anything wrong. I don't even think the Dhamma points away from that. This is the nature of the realm we live in. So yes, names and forms are important. I need to know I'm at Spirit Rock. I need to know where that, I need to know that as a thing so that I could get here. And I need to know where the airport is so I can get there. And I can communicate that to someone else. What I think the Dhamma is pointing to is, if we rely on the names and forms as our sense of security, we have our hands in our pockets. We're not really paying attention to the truth of what's happening in any given moment. And we don't see the harm in our speech. We don't see the harm in the speech of what we're saying to ourselves. It's just rumination that just goes on in our minds and we don't even see it. We don't see the harm. Maybe we can see the harm of someone else saying something mean to someone. You know, there's some obvious meanness, but we don't see the little judgments we make on people. Just at the grocery store, when we're in a rush, somebody's, you know, dragging their feet. Or I was in the grocery store yesterday and this woman gave me this scowlful look. I think I just must have just got too close to her or something, but she just gave me this horrific look. And I remember standing there talking mad shit in my mind to this woman. Like, who are you looking at me like that? Blah, 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 blah. It just lost it. And I could hear myself saying it. And in that moment, I asked myself, so where's the harm here, Tori? It's not to her, because you're not saying anything out loud. But you are harming yourself, and we're going to cut that out right now. So I just did this big, huge, cheesy grin, grinned at her, and because I'm softening my own heart, right? I'm just softening my own heart because I'm not going to harm me because someone else gave me a scowl. I get this cheesy grin, and her eyes just brighten up, and she smiled right back at me. And I realized when I was going out the door, I don't think she gave me a horrible, like a scowlful, evil eye look. I think she was in a thought that was scowlful, and she just happened to turn my way. And I took that as her looking at me. But she was on the inside doing the same thing I was doing when I saw that look. Do you see? This is, the Dhamma is about awareness and learning to be aware so that our faith and trust is not in, it's not in the name and form. It's in our awareness of what's happening in this moment. So it's not in the knowing what things are. It's in the our awareness of the way things are. And that awareness is what we are looking for. So over the course of this practice for this month, especially with name and form, especially with communication and speech, we can be very judgmental with our speech, and we can get into, oh, I shouldn't have said it like that. Like, I could have stood there and judged myself. I'm just finishing up a retreat, and here I am cussing somebody out in my mind. I could have, in that moment, been very judgmental to me, as if I were somehow a bad person, bad teacher. But it's Dhamma does not judge like that. It is the recognition of the suffering in that moment. And in the recognition of that suffering, you can let go. That's it. That's it. You let go and you move into that level of kindness. And when you can move into the level of kindness, now you can be who you are from that level of kindness. And that's what I think we're talking about over the course of this month. How can we see when our speech, when we're speaking, how can we see our speech as causing harm? And when can we see our speech as creating more suffering? And how can we see what we're saying inside? Or how can we see our listening as causing suffering? All of this, whether we're listening, whether we're actually speaking, the speech we listen to, the political speech we listen to, all of the speech around us, all of the communication around us, how are we holding that? Is it leading to more suffering? Is it leading to less suffering? Is it leading to more harm? Is it leading to less harm? Yeah, so I think that's where I want to stop. That's very nice. Thank you. And I want to set up some rooms here so we can talk. What I really want you to think about is, I know you have been speaking and listening all morning. Some of you have been up longer than others, but still, there's been some talking going on in your head. There's been some talking going on in the outer world. There's been some speech, some communication going on. And so what I'd like us to just talk is how much you noticed any of the speech from the time you woke up this morning until now. How much of it did you notice? Or were your hands in your pocket? And then did you become aware and more noted when you listened to Sousa's meditation and you listened to the Dhamma talk? And can you see how we, Sousa and I, are like the elderly woman grabbing your arm, your wrist there, and slowing us down so we can see speech? So that's what I'd like you to consider as one of the things you can contemplate. Great. Welcome back. Let's see if there's any comments. If anybody would like to share anything.
Hi, Tawari. Well, just for me, through the whole talk and the little story, I love the little story. I'm kinder to other people than I am to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah.
You have to let the elderly lady, Dhamma, you have to let it hold your hand. Because really what's happening is your hands are in your pocket. So really you're just not paying attention. You're just saying words and they're spewing out and it's harmful, but you're not really paying attention to that harm that's happening to you. You pay attention to the harm when it happens to other people. But when it comes to you, it's so random, you don't see it. So it's really having the Dhamma slow you down so you can see how painful it is. And not get caught in the judgment of, why do I do this to myself? Oh, this is so terrible. You're not trying to fix yourself. You're just trying to see, oh, this is, yeah, I can keep talking to myself like this. Nobody cares. But look at how painful this is, how much harm I'm doing to myself. And is it really worth it? If I want to get to a liberated mind, I'm going to have to go the other direction. I can't keep going this direction. It's not going to lead me there. That's the only reason why you want to begin to see the distinction. And I have found the best way to learn this distinction is to practice saying kind things. So have Bruce say kind things to you. And you sit there quietly and feel what it feels like when you hear kind things about you, so that you know the difference between how it feels when it's kind and it's affectionate and it's of goodwill words said to you and the words you say to yourself that are not. You got to begin to feel that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Yeah, go ahead, Rosie. You're on mute still.
I knew when you set things up that Suze was going to be my partner and we were going to be a twosome. It was sort of uncanny that I knew that. But Suze is a very dear friend, and she was so right on. And I had an experience with Rodney the other day that helped me so much, and I've been sharing it with a lot of different people because it was so significant. But Suze just gets me, and I so appreciate her. I just want to say that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Yeah.
Dharma friends. I mean, Rosie has been, we've known each other forever, it seems like. Rosie is able to say to me, like what you were saying, Tawari, about sometimes the teachings don't kind of come in that kindness package.
Yeah.
But it cuts right through to the truth of things.
Yeah.
And because there went in with Dharma friendships, there's this trust that we're all holding the Dharma sacred, like you were saying. And so we're able to hear things and also say, well, the words weren't exactly the perfect words, but I know it's coming from love. So I'm going to hear it in that way. And so I can hear it. I can receive it because there's that trust in Sangha and, you know, Dharma friendships. Anyway, that's what I...
Dharma friendships are not social friendships. They're not the same. Because one of the qualities that's required to be in a Dharma friendship is being able to say hard things to another and being able to hear the hard thing from another. That's part of it. And a good Dharma friend does not judge you for your failures. And so it's sort of like there's a way in which Dharma friendship is, you are expected to tell people the truth. You know, you're expected to tell people where they are. That's part and parcel of the love and the wisdom, helping people with a distinction. Like I was pointing to with Bruce and Sean, there has to be a pointing towards helping us see the distinction, or we're just trying to do the secular, make me a better person. Yeah. There's a lot in communications. There's a lot that we're going to look at over the course of the month. And I just want to leave you with one thing, because speech and listening, it's so personal. It gets very, very difficult to talk about this, but it's so a part of our lives that I just want to leave you with this notion that I think I say this a lot, but in case I haven't said it here, maybe I'll say it again. There is a reason why Buddha taught non-self. It's as if he knew that if you're going to look at the distinction between right speech and wrong speech, and we all do right speech and we all do wrong speech, if you're going to look at the distinction of that and come to an understanding of why you're choosing to go towards the path of right speech, you can't have a self in there. You can't have a sense of this is all about me, because you'll get caught up in the this is all about me and you'll stop paying attention to the distinction. So this non-self is not just some fuzzy place we get to in jhana's deep concentration. It's the recognition that this practice is not about you. It's about wisdom and understanding. And that's what we're looking for, is wisdom and understanding. And every single one of us have wrong speech. And that is not the point. The point is, do you know it when the speech is wrong? Do you know it when the speech is right? Do you know when you're headed towards Portland? Or do you know when you're headed away from Portland? So, good.
Thank you for your offerings to support our teachers and our organization. Your generosity is very much appreciated. As you know, our teachers, Tewari and Tim, live on the generosity of the Sangha. So thinking about that as part of your practice is really appreciated. Taking one last minute to just be quiet and be here, letting all of the morning kind of settle into our mind and heart. May all beings feel the gaze of kindness as they look within. May all beings be safe. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings live with ease. Have a lovely rest of your Sunday. Thank you for joining us all over the place where you are. And we'll see you again soon.